Welcome, welcome, you sick fucks, to a special episode of the Horror Report that's bound to tear through your eardrums like a horde of flesh-hungry ghouls. It's your insidious compatriot and guide through the grotesque and ghastly, Dr. Golula, here to slice into the meaty legacy of the one, the only, George A. Goddamn Romero. Now let me tell y'all, if you're a pansy-ass scaredy-cat, you better run back to your fucking fairy tales, cause today, we're diving headfirst into the gory glory of the man who didn't just break the mold, he fucking obliterated it. From corpses clawing out of their graves to the putrid stench of societal decay, Romero was the twisted genius who brought nightmares to life and had the balls to make them stare you right in the face. Alright, buckle up, bitches, cause if you thought you knew everything there was to know about the Emperor of the Undead, think again. We're talking about the guy who pretty much invented the modern zombie. Yeah, no big fucking deal, just redefining horror for half a century. His creations are the shit your darkest fears are made of, the kind of stuff that creeps into your skull and lays eggs of terror that hatch when the lights go out. So, what makes Romero the Sultan of Spook, the harbinger of horror, the absolute motherfucking champion of chills? Well, it sure ain't just about the gore and the shocks, though he served those up like a Michelin-starred chef. No, this motherfucker weaved social commentary and human drama into his tales, turning a goddamn mirror on society to show us the monsters we truly are. You think zombies are scary? Shit, they got nothing on the bureaucratic cunts, the greedy bastards chomping at the bit for a buck, and the heartless fucks stepping over the little guy. Romero saw all that shit, and he shoved it into his flicks with the subtlety of a sledgehammer smashing a rotting skull. Let's not forget the kind of legacy this legend left behind. Not only did Romero create a culture of counterculture in film, he made it okay to root for the dead guys, to find yourself cheering as the living got torn apart by the relentless undead. He showed us that sometimes, the world is so batshit insane that the only thing left to do is laugh as it all goes to hell. In this ass-kicking episode, we'll be raising a glass and maybe a severed limb or two to the man who never stopped dreaming up new ways to scare the living shit out of us. Night of the Living Dead, that was just the fucking appetizer. Romero's feast of fear spans decades of deliciously dark and foreboding films, each one juicier and more fucked up than the last. And if you're sitting there, with your guts all a-twitter in anticipation, well, you should be. Because we're not holding back or pulling punches. Uncensored, unfiltered, and unfucking believable, this tribute is gonna be a no-holds-barred, X-rated romp through the menacing mind of George A. Romero. We're tearing off the flesh and getting down to the gore-soaked bones of his cinematic conquests. So stick around, if you dare, cuz Dr. Golula's horror report is about to get bloody. And remember, in this haunted house of horrors, there's no safe word. Only the relentless, unstoppable, spine-chilling truth that'll crawl into your nightmares and fuck 'em sideways. George A. Romero, this one's for you, you brilliant, twisted fuck. Let's get this motherfucking show on the road. George A. fucking Romero, the godfather of the modern zombie genre, wasn't always the horror maestro we know and worship today. So gather, round, you ghouls and witches, cuz Dr. Golula is about to take you deep into the formative grave, I mean, years, of this legendary director. Born on February 4, 1940, in the Bronx, New York, George Andrew Romero was the son of a Cuban-American father and a Lithuanian-American mother. Little George must have had his tiny mind blown to bits cuz his childhood unfolded in the gilded age of monster movies. This twisted little kid was soaking up flicks like it was his mother's milk. Oh yes, he got a hefty dose of fright with classics like The Thing from Another World, a cinematic cocktail that would eventually fuel his own warped creations. Romero didn't just stumble ass backward into the world of filmmaking, hell no. He was a kid with a bloody mission, and he started shooting the shit out of it early on. Fuck, by the time he was 14, he was armed with a goddamn 8mm camera, already crafting his own horror stories. He was one sick puppy. After high school, he hustled his way into Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, diving headfirst into the art scene. Think of it, George Romero, in the flesh and blood, learning the ropes. But it wasn't all book smarts and boring lectures. Romero clawed his way through by dabbling in all sorts of gigs, including an art directorship at Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, can you believe that shit? Fred Rogers' gentle world was miles away from the guts and gore that would become Romero's trademark, but it's where he cut his teeth. His college years were like a goddamn crucible, heating up his mind and squeezing out the pure essence of his genius. As America was chewing on its own guts in the tumultuous 60s, Romero's own revolutionary spirit was a-brewing. By the time Romero had dropped out of college, the seeds of his iconic career were already sown in the fertile soil of his creative fucking genius. He started a commercial production company, Latent Image, with a few friends. They were scrappy bastards, shooting commercials and short segments for kiddie shows. But it wasn't long before George's dark side started to bubble up to the surface. A lot of motherfuckers don't know this, but Romero actually directed a segment for Mr. Rogers where he had to show tonsillectomies to kids. Holy fuck, right, get that image in your head, the future king of zombies, scaring the piss out of children with real-life gore. In a twist of fate, this exposure to the clinical side of body horror perhaps even offered a grisly sneak peek at the horrors he'd later conjure on the big screen. George didn't let the facade of conservative America dull his edge. He was always a rebel at heart, a man with his own apocalyptic visions. He was a quiet riot, brewing a storm in his brain, which would soon hit the land of the living like a 10-ton hammer of horror. Romero's early life was a fucking slow burn, a fuse leading to an explosion of flesh-eating zombies. His childhood love for film, combined with an unexpected variety of experiences, from shooting with an 8mm camera to working on a children's show, all these paradoxical influences concocted a visionary brew that would later redefine an entire genre. George was hellbent on ripping the stitches out of society's facade and exposing the guts, human nature in all its rotten glory. This gritty motherfucker laid the foundation, brick by bloody brick, and what a bloody foundation it was. Stick around, horror hounds, as we'll be picking at the carcass of George A. Romero's revolutionary films in the next part, diving into the flick that kicked off one hell of a living dead fucking revolution. Stay tuned for the most explicit, eye-gouging journey through the life of a man who made a nightmare empire out of zombies gnawing on fresh human flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, fasten your fucking seatbelts because we're about to tear into the guts of a film that chewed through the goddamn barricades of horror cinema, George A. Romero's motherfucking masterpiece, Night of the Living Dead. This son of a bitch unleashed a new breed of terror that crept into the nightmares of every wide-eyed bastard brave enough to watch. Hell, before Romero, zombies were just voodoo minions shambling around in some far-off shitholes. But in 1968, this mad genius said, fuck that, and birthed the flesh-eating ghouls that would come to dominate our screens. Now, grab a shovel to bash some walker skulls, and let's dig into Romero's directorial genius. Picture this, rural Pennsylvania, where the tombstones rise and the dead have a fuck-all attitude towards staying buried. Romero wasn't just about the gore and the scares, he was a crafty son of a bitch with a camera. With a shoestring budget tighter than a virgin's asshole, this maestro of macabre deployed guerrilla-style filmmaking, fucking improvising where needed and turning limitations into iconic horror moments. He was the goddamn MacGyver of horror directors. And let's talk about that ending. Holy shit, was it grim? Romero didn't give two shits about happy endings, serving up a finale colder than a witch's tit that left a slack-jawed. This wasn't your mama's horror flick, this was a bucket of cold, hard reality dumped on your head. That was Romero's writing for you, unapologetically bleak, like a kick in the teeth from death itself. He put down on paper a story that strangled the status quo and made us question, who the fuck are the real monsters? This son of a bitch, Romero, he didn't just entertain, he embedded social commentary into the rotting flesh of his walking corpses. The Vietnam War, racial tensions, and the fragility of human cooperation when the world's gone to shit, loud and clear messages, wrapped in a genre dismissed by the snooty cunts who couldn't recognize brilliance if it bit them on the ass. Romero's zombies were mindless, yes, but his films, anything fucking but, Night of the Living Dead, didn't just set the standard for zombie flicks, it gnawed at the very foundation of the genre, infecting everything that came after with its rabid bite. By the time the credits rolled, it was clear, cinema would never fucking be the same. George A. Romero hadn't just made a horror film, he'd unleashed a cultural phenomenon that would spread like the zombie plague, relentless and unstoppable. And as for us horror fans, we were bitten, smitten, and completely fuckstruck by a man who was fearless in unearthing the terrifying truths of what lurks in the shadowy corners of our psyche. So, we salute you, George A. Romero. You were a scrappy, ballsy motherfucker who made cinematic history with Night of the Living Dead, creating a legacy of nightmarish proportions with a vision so stark and unyielding, we're still shitting our pants over it 50 fucking years later. Alright you Romero fanatics, today we're diving deep into George A. Romero's work and hitting up a lesser-known slice of his filmography that doesn't usually scream with guts and gore. I'm talking about There's Always Vanilla, from 1971, a flick that takes a sharp left turn from his undead debut. But don't you worry, even without the flesh-eating monsters, this movie serves up its own kind of unsettling dish. After blowing our goddamn minds with Night of the Living Dead, in 68, nobody, absolutely nobody, expected Romero to pivot to a romantic comedy drama. You heard me right, There's Always Vanilla, also known as The Affair, takes us through the life of a swinging bachelor, Chris Bradley, played by Raymond Lane. It's a mindfuck to see Romero explore the anti-establishment vibes and countercultural wave of the era without any of the zombie shit. This was Romero laying his directorial cards on the table, playing with a story about a dude who thinks he's hot stuff yet can't seem to figure his own shit out. He meets a woman, Lynn, portrayed by Judith Ridley, who, by the way, was also in Night of the Living Dead, and together they navigate the tumultuous waters of a relationship that's anything but vanilla. Now, let's talk challenges, because shit got real during the production of this baby. There's always vanilla, served Romero a knuckle sandwich full of reality. The budget, holy motherfuck, was a joke. He's out here trying to make cinematic art on funds that wouldn't even cover a zombie's lunch. Not to mention, a lot of people didn't take this film seriously cause they were still hung up on his zombie fest. But here's the kicker, folks, this film got buried, like 6 feet under buried, in criticism and practically vanished until much later. What it also showed was Romero's sheer audacity. He said, fuck it, to expectations and made the movie he wanted, critics be damned. It wasn't until much later that the film nerds and Romero diehards were digging through his archives and stumbled upon this gem. Listen, it's a hot take, but rolling with this film shows off Romero's versatility. The guy wasn't just a one-trick, flesh-eating pony, he had layers. And sure, there's always vanilla, faced some serious production dick punches with budget constraints and a seriously mixed reception. But it also put Romero's talent up against the wall, having to pack a punch without the help of gut-munching zombies to keep the audience hooked. In the end, while There's Always Vanilla may not stand toe-to-toe with Night of the Living Dead in gross-out, spine-chilling terror, it's like a rare deep cut on an album by your favorite band. It's raw Romero without the rotting corpses, groaning and shuffling around. It's a testament to his ballsy nature, his will to fuck with the norm, and his relentless pursuit to tell a story his way. So grab a spoon, horror hounds, cause this vanilla ain't just some plain-ass ice cream, it's a scoop of George A. Romero doing whatever the hell he wants. Alright, fuckos and horror hounds, let's tear into George A. Romero's third flick, Season of the Witch. Now, this ain't your goddamn grandmother's fairy tale, no sir. We're diving headfirst into a cauldron of psychological terror and societal fuckery, Romero style. This raw slice of cinema from 1973 might have flown under your radar, and shit, that's a travesty, because here we see the maestro straying off the beaten path of gut-munching undead. Season of the Witch taps into suburban despair and the suffocating chasm of domestic life. Our leading lady, Joan Mitchell, is one trapped bitch in the quagmire of a lifeless marriage, piss all to do but attend Tupperware parties, and a husband who might as well have a dick for a personality. But Joan's not going down without swinging her witchy ways around. And let's get this shit straight, Romero ain't handing you some Hollywood sparkle witch crap. The magic in this beast is gritty, as real as the caked-on foundation on a suburban housewife's mug. He slaps you with themes of empowerment and sexual liberation, all bottled up in this arcane suburban landscape. And wouldn't you know, just like the motherfuckers in power, everyone's trying to shut her down. But Joan ain't having any of that shit. Now, directing-wise, Romero's already showing us he's not a one-trick pony. Tight shots ringing claustrophobia out of the viewer, long scenes playing out that ramp up the unsettling vibe, and that fucking atmosphere, thick enough to slice. The tension in this movie strangles you, making you squirm as Joan flirts with the supernatural, dipping toes into a dark pool where her inhibitions don't mean dick. This shit is nuanced, and if you're looking for jump scares or buckets of blood, go bark up another tree. Romero's weaving in psychological horror and a slice of fucked up life narrative, the kind we can chew on and feel it sticking uncomfortably in our throats. It's goddamn beautiful in its own bleak way, a testament to Romero's growing prowess as a filmmaker who's not afraid to finger poke the soft underbelly of American culture. Every frame of Season of the Witch drips with zeitgeist juice, pushing against the boundaries of what mainstream horror was expected to be, thumbing its nose at the status quo, and raising two middle fingers to the conservative shits that dominated the scene. It's not just about some midlife crisis or playing hocus pocus, it's a fuck you note to the expectation of womanhood, the fear of female sexuality, and the desperate clawing for autonomy. Romero, that sly motherfucker, is showing us womanhood with teeth, and goddamn, it's got a bite. Wrap it up, and what do you get? A cerebral horror mindfuck that isn't afraid to edge into the discomfort zone. Hell, Romero was bending the norms back before bending the norm was even a thing. Season of the Witch might not have the cult following of Night of the Living Dead, but don't be the cunt who overlooks this gem. Any self-respecting horror fiend worth their salt needs to get their eyes on this bewitching bastard of a film. Oh, fuck yes, horror hounds. Let's dive into the insanity that is The Crazies. George A. Romero, the man, the myth, the legend, sank his teeth into society's jugular once again, and this time he was not holding back one goddamn bit. Released in 1973, The Crazies is a full-on assault on the senses that tackles themes more contagious than the god-awful virus plaguing the small town within its narrative, government mistrust and the ever-looming threat of an apocalyptic shitstorm. From the get-go, Romero wasn't just here to spill blood and send a few shivers down your spine. Oh no, that motherfucker wanted to make a statement. And The Crazies is a testament to his ballsy approach to horror. Now, picture this. A fucking plane goes down carrying a biological agent, and the government, in their infinite wisdom, those wankers, accidentally let it loose on the unsuspecting populace of Evan City, Pennsylvania. What a bunch of bastards, am I right? As the infection spreads and people are freaking the fuck out, Romero throws the viewer knee-deep into chaos, the military-industrial complex, and an inept response that predates the fuckeries of Hurricane Katrina and looks uncomfortably close to the hellish governmental cock-ups of our own era. The shit hits the fan quickly, as the military swoops in with their masks, guns, and asinine command structure, trying to quarantine the situation. But it's all a big bitch of a blunder, with innocent folks getting the raw end of the stick, forcibly removed from their homes, separated from their families, all the while those in charge seem more clueless than a stone teenager at a calculus exam. Let's not beat around the bush, Romero was one crafty motherfucker. He didn't just slap these themes onto the screen with the subtlety of a hammer to the face. He wove it into a harrowing narrative that would make audiences shit their pants in fear and rage. The characters weren't just dickheads waiting to be knocked off, they were real, relatable, facing an enemy that was both invisible and coldly indifferent, a monstrous concoction of bureaucratic bullshit and scientific fuckery. And through shots that captured the dread, paranoia, and anarchy, Romero's direction was tight as a nun's asshole. But his script, hot damn, it was sharper than a serial killer's favorite knife. Dialogue crackled with intensity, and the pacing of the plot unfolded with the inevitability of a Greek tragedy, where you just know shit's going to end badly for all these poor sons of bitches caught up in the mess. It wasn't a happy-go-lucky time at the movies, watching people go bug-fuck insane and society unravel at its seams. Romero never shied away from getting his hands dirty with the issues of the day. His films were masterclasses in blending visceral horror with social commentary. And with The Crazies, it's like the genius bastard held up a mirror to society, showing us a reflection that's all kinds of fucked up. It's not just about gore and scares, it's a film that screams into your face the horrifying question, what if? What if the very institutions built to protect us are the ones that will fuck us over in the end? What if, when the shit really hits the fan, we're all left on our own? That's the terror that The Crazies unleashes on its audience. And that, my dear listeners, is the raw power of George A. Romero's monumental craft. The man wasn't just a director, he was a goddamn wake-up call, wrapped in a blood-soaked, biohazard bag. Let's cut the shit and dive straight into the fucking carnival of terror that is the amusement park. That's right, you sick fucks, George A. Romero wasn't all about the undead munching on brains. He had a few fucked up rides up his sleeve, and this one was a doozy. The Amusement Park, a lesser known gem from Romero's filmography, is this raw, relentless social commentary that'll make you squirm more than a maggot on a hot sidewalk. Here, the usual zombies are replaced by the real motherfucking horrors of aging and how the elderly get treated like yesterday's garbage. Picture this. An elderly man finding his way through the metaphorical hell of an amusement park, except it ain't the rides that are scary, it's the goddamn people. Romero throws us onto this ride without a safety bar, making us watch as the old guy is knocked around, dismissed, and fucking humiliated. It's like a goddamn snapshot of what our society does to those who've been around the block more times than we have. Shit, if the message here doesn't punch you right in the gut, you might as well be a corpse. Romero's directing here is fucking sleight of hand magic. You think you're getting into some kind of slapstick funhouse, but then he hits you with the real horror, indifference, isolation, and the brutal reality of being forgotten. It's got all the subtlety of a sledgehammer, and that's the goddamn point. He's screaming in your face, look at this shit. This is what we do to our old folks. The park itself is a stand-in for society's bright and shiny exterior, and the fucked up treatment of the elderly is the rusty, twisted machinery grinding away underneath. The film is like an acid trip filled with metaphorical imagery that sticks to your brain like chewing gum on the sidewalk. You might be asking, but Dr. Ghoul Yula, why the fuck did Romero decide to jump into this territory? And to that I say, the man wasn't just a one-trick pony. Sure, he could make your pulse race with zombie action, but the fucker knew how to dig into the meatier, more disturbing parts of the human condition. With the amusement park, he wasn't just entertaining, he was holding up a goddamn mirror to our faces, forcing us to look at the ugly truths we'd rather ignore. In conclusion, the amusement park may not have the blood and guts spectacle we've come to jack off to in Romero's work, but it's got something far more gut-wrenching, reality. And the sad and shitty truth is that the film's message is still fucking relevant, which just goes to show that Romero's films aren't just scares and gore. They're sharp, cutthroat critiques that slap you right in the conscience. So next time you're complaining about some old bitch taking too long at the checkout line, remember, the amusement park, and check yourself before you become part of the motherfucking problem. Alright, you sick fucks, strap in as we slice open the jugular of Martin, the film that George A. Romero himself crowned as his personal favorite, and you bet your ass there's a damn good reason why. This isn't some sparkly teenage vampire bullshit, it's a gritty, blood-soaked dive into the pits of vampirism and the crushing weight of alienation. Martin shoves a stake right through the heart of your traditional vampire lore. This film is Romero fucking with the genre, stripping away centuries of mythology and giving us a protagonist who might just be some deranged, razor-wielding motherfucker with a taste for blood, rather than an actual supernatural creature. It's murky, it's ambiguous, and by God, it gets under your skin like a bad case of the clap. Listen, when you've got a young dude who's shooting up elderly victims with sedatives, slitting their wrists, and slurping down their life juice, you don't need gothic castles or fangs, the horror is in the goddamn realism. Romero shits on the idea of glamorous immortality and instead gives us Martin, a character so desperately lonely, so profoundly disconnected, that he clings to a twisted family legend just to feel like he belongs to something, anything. The son of a bitch even calls into a radio show, laying out his bloody cravings like a flesh and blood confession booth. Except there's no salvation waiting, only a growing body count and a creeping sense of dread. And can we talk about the black and white flashbacks? It's like Romero is mindfucking us into questioning what's real, blending Martin's fantasies with the stark, shitty reality of his existence in decrepit Braddock, Pennsylvania. And in true Romero fashion, there's no skimping on social commentary. He paints a dick cheese smeared portrait of a rusting American dream, where a vampiric existence is just another metaphor for the dead-end hopelessness munching away at society's fringes. Martin doesn't just want your blood, he's a reflection of the slow decay of human connection, the alienation of the other, the outsider, the ones we look right through and pretend aren't sucking air in the same room as us. But hey, don't go thinking this is some sob story where you'll want to cuddle Martin and tell him everything's gonna be just fucking peachy. It's raw, and it's dirty, and the only sparkles you'll find here are from the shards of a broken mirror, the shattered reflection of a human being turned monster, or maybe it's the other way around. In the end, Martin doesn't just disturb, it nestles into your brain like that final shot, ambiguous and haunting. So, whether you want to sink your teeth into a different kind of vampire story or you're just here to watch a master like Romero work his balls off, this flick will hang on you like the stench of death. Now, shake off the goosebumps and get ready to roll into more nightmare fuel that old Georgie boy had tucked up his sleeve. Fuck, what a ride. Hell yeah, fellow fiends of fright. Let's sink our fangs into the delectable flesh of Dawn of the Dead, George A. Romero's magnum fucking opus that took the creeping horror of Night of the Living Dead and dialed that shit up to an 11. This 1978 masterpiece wasn't just a sequel, it was a goddamn cultural revolution wrapped in rotting flesh and splattered brains. First off, critics lost their goddamn minds over Dawn. They were slurping up the gore and social satire like it was the last spiked punch at prom night. The movie bashed its way into the brains of viewers, flaunting its entrail-laden glory and leaving a mark so damn deep it's never truly been scrubbed clean. Romero, that brilliant son of a bitch, flipped the script on horror, elevating it from mere scream fests to a medium that could fucking gut-punch society with its messages. And those flesh munchers, fuck me, they were terrifying. Romero took the shambling corpses we were already pissing our pants over and set them loose in a goddamn shopping mall, turning consumer culture into a smorgasbord of satire and intestines. It was like a high-stakes game of hide-and-seek where the only prize for getting caught was a one-way ticket to becoming walking worm food. The gore was gourmet quality, too. Tom Savini, the Sultan of Splatter, was on practical effects, and man, did he deliver. Heads exploded, innards spilled, and blood flowed like it was Black Friday in the horror department. It's no motherfucking wonder, Dawn of the Dead is worshipped like the holy grail of splatter flicks. It didn't just scare the living shit out of us, it made us think and retch in equal measure. But let's not gloss over its badass cultural impact. Romero didn't just make a film, he spawned a legacy that would ooze its way through decades of zombie flicks. Dawn of the Dead chewed up the rulebook and vomited it out as a genre-defining classic. This film didn't just cement Romero's status as a master of horror, it turned him into an icon, a veritable god in the gore-splattered pantheon of horror filmmakers, and there you have it, Horror Hounds, a snapshot of the carnage and chaos that is Dawn of the Dead. It's the kind of film that grabs you by the balls and doesn't let go until you're converted into the cult of Romero. So, let's raise a chainsaw and a blood-soaked toast to George. The man knew how to serve us terror, with a sight of brains, and fuck if we don't love him for it. Alright, you fucking ghouls and nightcrawlers, let's take an unexpected detour from George A. Romero's infamous blood and guts reputation and delve into the jousting fuckery of Knight Riders. Released in 1981, this flick stashed the zombie guts in the trunk to bring us something wildly different. Let me paint you a picture. Motorcycles instead of horses, armor clanking over leather jackets, and a visionary motherfucker who took a stand against sellout culture, it's a far cry from the flesh-eating dead we're used to. So what's the deal with Knight Riders, you ask? It's simple. Romero said fuck the mainstream and crafted a tale about a group of modern-day knights who say, screw you, to society's expectations and take to the streets, battling it out in a medieval-style traveling carnival. But it ain't just about swinging maces in events that get your adrenaline harder than a corpse's rigor mortis. It's about ideals, honor, and the fight to stay true to yourself in a world that's constantly trying to nail you into a pre-made coffin of conformity. Romero's directing in Knight Riders is all about that raw, unpolished sincerity. He throws you headfirst into the drama, the camaraderie, the fucking existential crises that come with pursuing authenticity in an artificial ass world. As for his writing, damn, it's like getting slapped with a gauntlet of truth. The dialogue doesn't pussyfoot around the struggles of maintaining integrity. You'll hear these characters toss around words about freedom and live for something bigger than their own asses, which in Hollywood's high-gloss, candy-coated film market is a bold move, no doubt. Now, don't be fooled into thinking this movie is some transparent, holier-than-thou parable. Hell no. It's gritty, it's sweaty, and it feels as real as the sting of chainmail against your face when you take a spill on the asphalt. And the actors, you can tell they're not just there for a quick buck. They breathe life into this band of rebels, revving their engines in defiance of society's chokehold. But let's not forget, it's a Romero film, so it's still got that undercurrent of confrontation. Our main hero, Billy, played with balls-to-the-wall conviction, is the King Arthur figure who's constantly getting his authority and his ideology challenged by both the knightly codes and the bitch-slapping hand of commercialism threatening to tear down their round table. You might be asking, how the fuck did a film about knights on motorbikes come from the same twisted mind that gave us Night of the Living Dead? Well, let me tell you, it's a goddamn testament to Romero's versatility. He could have stuck to zombies chomping on intestines until the motherfucking cows came home, but instead, he took a risk. It's like flipping the bird to the studios and saying, I'm making my art, whether you shitheads like it or not. Knight Riders might not leave you checking under your bed for ghouls, but it's a ride through Romero's creative landscape that you won't soon forget. It shows us that even in the modern cacophony of rampant consumerism, you can cling to your blood-soaked values and find your own path, leaving tread marks over any bastard who tells you otherwise. So there you have it, a helmet-off salute to a unique chapter in Romero's filmography, one that'll leave you pondering your own battles and questioning how tight you're gripping your own fucking lance in the joust of life. But don't dwell on it too long, because up next, we're diving back into the gore galore with Creepshow, the freak show where the dead get a hell lot more than just one last laugh. Alright, you creepy fuckers, buckle up because we're diving into the twisted funhouse mirror world of Creepshow. This motherfucker is a wicked collaboration between the King of Zombies, George A. Romero, and the Sultan of Scare, Stephen King. Now let me tell ya, Creepshow is not just another horror flick, it's a goddamn experience, a five-part anthology that stitches together like Frankenstein's monster, only sexier. Each segment is a love letter to the blood-drenched pages of 50s EC horror comics, but with a twist you didn't see coming even if you had a crystal ball. Imagine this. Gory special effects that make you laugh while gagging, moody lighting that flickers like the flame of a candle in a witch's den, and storytelling sharper than a vampire's fang. Romero and King, these cheeky bastards, they take you by the balls and lead you through tales of revenge from beyond the grave, freaky as fuck alien weeds, and corpses demanding their cake. Hell, they even serve you up a monster in a crate that fucks up anything that moves. Each vignette in Creepshow screams originality and black humor. It's as if Romero sat there channeling his inner demons, and King, that clever son of a bitch, is whispering dark fairy tales right into his ear. These two manage to capture the campy atmosphere of those old comic books. You know, the ones with the lurid covers that your mom would shit bricks over if she caught you reading them. But here's the kick in the nuts. Creepshow isn't just about making you squirm and scream. It's an injection of satire, a social commentary wrapped in a blood-soaked bow. It's Romero's magic touch, bringing more to the table than just shock and gore. He's making you think while your skin crawls. And hell, let's talk about its impact on horror anthologies. This fucker set the bar high. It's like Romero and King looked at the genre, roughed it up in a dark alley, and said, "This is how it's done, bitches." They showed everyone that horror can be fun, petrifying, and smart, all in one fell swoop. From TV shows to movies, you can see the ghostly handprint of Creepshow smeared all over them. So, to wrap this shit show up, Creepshow is more than a film, it's a cockroach-infested cornerstone of the horror anthology genre. Thanks to Romero's love for visual storytelling and King's twisted-as-fuck imagination, it's proof that when horror legends band together, they can give birth to something so deliciously vile, it'll haunt your dreams and make you come back for more. And damn, does it feel good to be scared like that. Alright, my fellow horror hounds, we're diving headfirst into the rotten, flesh-eating heart of Romero's zombie saga with the third fucking installment, Day of the Dead. Buckle the fuck up because this is where shit gets real, both in terms of gore and the goddamn message behind the mayhem. Day of the Dead hits us with a motherfuck of a setting, a claustrophobic underground military bunker post-zombie outbreak, where the last bits of human shits are clinging to what's left of their sanity. Tensions are as tight as a virgin's asshole, with military assholes and scientists at each other's throats, trying to figure out what to do with the zombie shit show happening topside. Romero's not just content with making your skin crawl, he wants to burrow into your brain and lay eggs of social commentary. This fucker magnifies the conflict between the military's brute force and the scientists' desperate search for understanding. Guess what? It's a mirror to our own fucked up society, where force often triumphs over knowledge, and power can be a real bitch to the pursuit of what's right. It's about control, the illusion of it, and the goddamn chaos that follows when it slips through our fingers like sand made of crushed bones. And can we talk about the motherfucking technical genius of this film? Tom Savini, the Sultan of Splatter, outdoes himself with some of the most gut-wrenching, bowel-loosening special effects of the 80s. Heads being ripped off, guts spilling out like a busted piñata, and jaw-dropping makeup that makes the undead look dead enough to smell through the fucking screen. This level of detail raised the bar so high for practical effects that modern CGI-laden flicks look like a lazy shitfest in comparison. But the real eye-opener here is Bub, the domesticated zombie who brings a tear to our eye and a question to our minds. Are these creatures still human on some level, or are they just animated bags of meat? Bub becomes the unlikely heart of the film, showing signs of memory and learning, tugging at our heartstrings with his freaky fucking undead charm. In Day of the Dead, Romero doesn't just deliver a hell of a horror flick. He bitch slaps us with questions about humanity, authority, and the shit-tastic ways we treat each other. The movie reminds us that even when surrounded by death, the real horror is losing our humanity to the monstrous impulses lurking within us all. So, that's Day of the Dead, an essential chapter in Romero's Gorefest Bible that's as thought-provoking as it is vomit-inducing. It's not just a splatter film, it's a bleak, bloody commentary on the decay of society and a gory-ass technical masterpiece that still stands the fucking test of time. Now, wipe that festering zombie blood off your face, and let's march on through the rest of the undead madness. Alright, you sick fucks, ready to dive skull-first into some twisted shit. Dr. Ghoul Eula is about to rip open Monkey Shines, that fucking unnerving as hell psychological horror that grips you by the balls and doesn't let go. This isn't just some run-of-the-mill scarefest. This is George A. Romero gnawing at your conscience with the raw nerve of real human fears, disability, and the chilling question of just how much we can rely on those who help us. So, Monkey Shines is a mindfuck of a movie where Romero explores the dark bond between man and beast, serving up a thick slab of horror that makes you squirm in your seat. We got Alan, this athletic dude turned quadriplegic by a shitty accident, who gets paired with Ella, a capuchin monkey trained to assist the disabled. Sounds cute, huh? Well, buckle the fuck up, because this ain't no Disney flick. At first, you're all warm and fuzzy, seeing this monkey helping Alan live a better life, fetching shit for him, pressing his buttons, and not in the metaphorical sense. But the touchy-feely fairy tale screeches into a nightmare faster than a bat out of hell when Ella starts tapping into Alan's raw anger and bitterness. It's like Romero is slicing through the curtain and showing us the monster within, the one we all keep chained up, but this fucking monkey, she's got the key. Then, this horror show twists its knife into the polemics of animal experimentation, You know, the kind of thing that makes you think, who's the real animal here? That's Romero's genius. He's got you siding with a monkey 1 minute, and then he's got you watching your back in case she's lurking around the next fucking corner the next. It ain't called Monkey Shines for shits and giggles. It's a full-blown mind-shattering look at the symbiotic relationship that goes full psycho. And Romero, the clever bastard, doesn't pull any punches. His directing tantalizes with every shot, engulfing you in a claustrophobic sense of dread that makes every hair on your body stand up like it's been electrocuted. Through the lens of Monkey Shines, Romero ain't just telling a story. He's yanking you into an abyss, making you grapple with the vulnerability of the human condition. It's a balls-to-the-wall examination of what happens when the lines between helper and dependent blur, and when the animals we use for our own ends turn the tables, making us the caged ones. It's a cinematic mind game that fucks you harder than a jackhammer on steroids. So, shout out to George A. Romero for not just delivering horror that makes you shit your pants but making you reflect on the fucked up implications of control, trust, and animal instinct. Monkey Shines takes a disturbing concept and shoves it down your throat until you're choking on the fear, the paranoia, and the ultimate question, who's the real puppet master in life's twisted, fucked up game? Romero, you magnificent motherfucker, you did it again. Alright, you horror-hungry hellraisers, let's sink our teeth into the necrotic nugget that is Two Evil Eyes. This motherfucking movie is a delectable double feature that was birthed from the wicked minds of two maestros of mayhem, George A. Romero and Dario Argento. Now, strap in tight because we're dissecting Romero's half of this terror twosome, where he puts his signature undead spin on the macabre masterpiece of Edgar Allan Poe's The Facts in the Case of M. Valdemar. Fuck me sideways, if this isn't a match made in horror heaven, or should I say, hell. Two Evil Eyes is like getting a sucker punch to the gut. It's uncomfortable, it's squirm-inducing, but holy shit, you can't help but want more. Romero, that clever son of a bitch, takes Poe's tale and injects it with a modern twist that'll leave your skin crawling. You've got hypnotism, greed, and a fuck ton of suspense that wraps around your throat tighter than a noose. Imagine the sheer balls it takes to mess with Poe's work. But Romero, he doesn't give a flying fuck. He grabs the story and yanks it into the grotesque gallery of the 20th century without missing a goddamn beat. The arrogance of the characters, married perfectly with that tangible sense of impending doom, showcases Romero's genius at taking the fear factor and cranking it up to 11. But it's not just the story that's got balls of steel, it's the way Romero's vision slithers onto the screen. Him and Dario Argento, they're like horror's gruesome twosome, each with their own style. Yet in Two Evil Eyes, it's Romero's eye for the unsettling that has us gripping our seats. His flair for exposing the decay of human nature, when coupled with the supernatural elements of Poe's story, results in a cinematic mindfuck that only Romero could deliver. What really slays in this piece is how Romero takes a story about death, about the in-between, and makes it feel so goddamn alive. It's the creeping unease, the lurking dread, and the brutal climax that leave you feeling like you've been through a goddamn meat grinder, in the best way possible. So here we have it, fuckers, a film that doesn't just adapt Poe, it revives him, digs up his corpse, and makes him dance the danse macabre for a new generation of horror hounds. George A. Romero, that crafty motherfucker, serves up a slab of terror that's seasoned with respect for literary tradition but spiced up with modern madness. And yeah, Two Evil Eyes might not be Romero's most famous flick, hell, it's a far cry from the raving dead fiestas he's known for, but it's a testament to the man's versatility behind the camera and his ability to collaborate with other titans of terror. All in all, Two Evil Eyes is a vicious romp through the catacombs of human depravity, and ain't that just what we lust for in a horror movie? It's a delightful dance with the devil, and a reminder that when you fuck around with the dead might just fuck around with you. Romero, you sly, scary bastard, you've done it again. In 1993, George A. Romero brought us The Dark Half, a chilling dive into the fractured psyche that plays out like a goddamn horrifying tango between a writer and his alter ego. Romero, weaving his visionary shit through the narrative thicket of Stephen King's novel, delivered a sucker punch to the very notion of identity. Now, let's cut the crap and get down to the meat of this fucked up story. On the surface, it's about Thad Beaumont, this seemingly mild-mannered author who writes violent books under the pseudonym George Stark. But the thick layers of hell get peeled back when Thad decides to bury his darker half, only for it to claw its way out of the grave, intent on fucking up his every breath. Romero's direction is a gorgeous mindfuck that questions whether we're all just one bad day away from our own personal horror story. The film takes a metaphorical sledgehammer to the constructs of good and bad, or what society spoon-feeds us as our true selves. Once Stark steps onto the scene, all hell breaks loose, metamorphosing the mundane into a mind-bending thriller that leaves you questioning what the fuck is real. And let me tell you, Timothy Hutton delivers a performance that's nothing short of electrifying. The way he plays off himself, showcasing the duality of Thad and Stark, is a goddamn tour de force. One moment, he's the dickless wonder raising twins in the Boondocks, and the next, he's a roaring shitstorm of violence and raw, visceral id. Romero's craftsmanship in adapting King's work is a testament to his inherent understanding of the horror that lies within. He taps into that vein of terror, the one that pulsates with the fear of losing control, of being usurped by the very creation that gave you a semblance of power. The film's aesthetic, shadowy and fucking intense, magnifies this inward battle. Romero's uncanny ability to tap into the visual language of fear ain't no small feat. The stark, pun fucking intended, contrast between Bowman's reality and Stark's brutality blurs the line between fiction and the despairing abyss of the soul. The dark half also gnaws at the theme of authorship and the horrors of creation. As Romero lays it bare, creation isn't just birthing beauty into the world, it's an act of tearing a piece of your damn self out. And if that piece decides to take on a life of its own, well, you're pretty much fucked. While the flick might not have raked in the big bucks or garnered the unyielding accolades of his more celebrated brain munchers, let's not dick around. The dark half carves out its place in the pantheon of psychological fear fests with cold precision. Cheers to George A. Romero for schooling us in the art of duality and for unleashing the shadows that dance within, reminding us that we're all just a coin flip away from unleashing the beast that lurks beneath our sugary facades. All right, horror hounds, let's sink our fangs into George A. Romero's not-fucking-around film, Bruiser. Now, this flick isn't about your run-of-the-mill zombies chomping on guts, but it's a no-bullshit dive into the mindfuck of losing your identity in a world that treats you like another goddamn barcode. Picture this, a dude so painfully average that even his reflection says, "Who the fuck are you?" That's Henry Creedlow, our everyman, wearing a face so blank it's invisible even to his cheating bitch of a wife and his backstabbing fucker of a boss. The guy gets shit on from all heights of the social ladder until one day, he wakes up and bam. His face is a blank slate, like a goddamn mannequin, and that's when the shit really hits the fan. Romero's pull no punches direction and writing shove us face first into this twisted tale, where the invisible man starts painting his canvas with blood red vengeance. It's a full throttle fuck you to the consumerist society that chews you up and spits you out like last night's chewed up steak. And let me tell ya, it's not just gore for gore's sake. There's a method to the motherfucking madness. It's a cold, hard look at what it means when the mask you wear for the world becomes your only fucking identity. Now, as much as some might want to write Bruiser off as a lesser Romero, that's a pile of steaming bullshit. The guy took the mundane horror of anonymity and spun it into a narrative that gets under your skin like a splinter you can't fucking tweeze out. He's saying, loud and clear, that in this cesspool of consumerism, we're all just one bad day away from being a faceless drone in the crowd. Critics might have had their heads up their asses, giving it a lukewarm whatever, but Bruiser has those undercurrents of psychological horror that fuck with you more than any flesh-eating zombie. It's the fear of losing your motherfucking soul to the shitstorm of daily life, of becoming just another cog in the goddamn machine. And Henry, our faceless man, he ain't having none of that shit. He becomes the face of revenge in a society that doesn't even see him. Romero strays from his usual undead romps here but sticks the landing with a bitch slap to consumer culture and an existential dread that's hard to shake off. Bruiser may not be his most famous work, but it's a raw as fuck reminder that George A. Romero is a master storyteller, flipping the bird at the comfortable and the norm. So if you haven't seen this gem, do yourself a fucking favor, watch it, and let Romero tear off your face to reveal the true horror lying beneath your everyday shitshow of an existence. In 2005, George motherfucking Romero decided it was high time to bring the dead back to life, as only he could, with Land of the Dead. This ain't your ordinary run-of-the-mill zombie flick, it's a ballsy, no-shit-taken commentary on the festering wounds of class disparity and societal decay. The rich-poor divide, Romero tears it a new one, right in the midst of a world crawling with the hungry dead. Land of the Dead throws us headfirst into a post-apocalyptic shithole where the rich barricade themselves in a fortified golden tower, gorging on luxury, while the poor are left to fend off the undead in the streets. It's as if the rich are flipping the bird to the less fortunate, saying, fuck you, to the plight of their fellow man. In Romero's world, the zombies ain't the only monsters. Humanity's true face is just as grotesque and fucked up. Our man Romero pushes the envelope, and in Land of the Dead, he has the balls to throw a wrench into the typical undead narrative. We see the zombies evolving, learning, and shit, they're becoming self-aware. Big Daddy, the gas station attendant turned zombie leader, is a middle finger to the dehumanization of the lower class, showing even in death, these bastards refuse to be sidelined. Romero's directorial genius shows in his ability to ratchet up the tension, not just through gore and scares, but the creeping horror of what mankind has become. The cinematography is a gloomy love letter to the genre, with each shot meticulously crafted to accentuate the divide and desperation of a world teetering on the brink. Sound cheesy? Fuck that. Romero makes damn sure it feels as real as it gets, never shying away from the gritty brutality of survival. We get intense performances that bring life to a script that's as sharp as a gutting knife. Yet, Romero still finds room to plant his tongue firmly in cheek, cutting through the darkness with a sardonic wit sharper than a scalpel. And the special effects, they'll kick you right in the teeth. Romero, alongside his FX maestro Greg Nicotero, delivers an orgy of blood and guts to paint a gruesome picture of the end of the world shitstorm. But make no mistake, the true horror in Land of the Dead isn't the limb-ripping, flesh-munching undead, it's the acidic reflection of our own fucked-up society that leaves you reeling. So, when you sink your teeth into Land of the Dead, you're not just getting a zombie movie. You're getting a cold, hard, gore-soaked reality check from a visionary director who's grown, evolved, and ain't afraid to show the rot at the heart of our existence. Romero is yelling, loud and fucking clear, that the real apocalypse is the one we're constructing ourselves, one greed-filled brick at a time. Welcome to the dead land, where the living are just as damned. Shit, if George A. Romero didn't get his fucked up, wicked claws into the very fabric of undead storytelling, then I'll be a zombie's dinner. So, let's dig into the bloody entrails of Diary of the Dead, the motherfucker of all found footage films that chewed up the rulebook and spat it out like a piece of rotten flesh. In 2007, Romero, that goddamn maestro of gore, decided to tackle the overfed beast of media saturation. Diary of the Dead wasn't just another undead romp. Oh, hell no. It was a biting commentary on how we're all glued to our screens, sucking up content like it's the fucking oxygen we breathe. The film slaps you with a dose of reality. Those screens we clinked are the same ones spelling out our doom. It's as if Romero looked us dead in the eye and said, "Listen, you zombie cunts, wake up and smell the corpse flowers." Now, this wasn't the first flick to use the found footage technique. That credit goes to other trailblazers like The Blair Witch Project. But Romero, that sly old dog, used it like a bitch-slapping critique of our voyeuristic appetite for chaos and carnage. Instead of polished scenes, we got raw, shaky glimpses of terror, as if it was our fucked-up friend next door filming the whole bloody apocalypse on his camcorder. This wasn't just any zombie tale, it was a middle finger to the way news is shoved down our throats. The characters in Diary of the Dead, those poor sons of bitches, are up-and-coming film students. They capture real-time horror, documenting the flesh-munching madness while the rest of the world watches, slack-jawed and hungry for the next sensational bite of gore. It's like Romero is saying, "Here's the shit show, you sick fucks, enjoy the view." And the zombies, they're not just walking bags of pus and despair. They're symbols for us, the mindless consumers of the modern world, slaves to the constant buzz and flicker of images, gobbling up pixels like their juicy brain nuggets. We're devouring our reality, pixel by pixel, turning into the very monsters Romero's been warning us about for decades. In Diary of the Dead, Romero took the undead genre he fucking fathered and pimped it out, slapping on a coat of social satire with his signature style, no punches pulled, no taboo too sacred. He captured the zeitgeist of a voyeuristic society that's dead inside, watching itself rot through a damn lens. And let's not forget, those very same recording devices capturing the demise of humanity are also the only thing giving these characters a glimmer of hope to hold on to. It's Romero at his cynical best, showing us a mirror smeared with blood and guts and asking, "What the fuck are you going to do about it?" In conclusion, Diary of the Dead isn't just another horror flick. It's Romero clawing his way out of the grave and into the digital age, dragging his putrid point right into our laps. Modern media's fucked, we're all contributors to this streaming shitfest, and maybe, just maybe, we're the walking dead. Well, shit, Survival of the Dead. You hear that title and your mind just fucking sprints to one man, one legend, George A. Romero. This was the man's parting shot, the swan song to his flesh-eating opera and, let me tell you, it's a bittersweet motherfucking symphony of gore and flesh. The movie trots us back to Romero's special brand of apocalypse, one where the dead have a nasty habit of not staying dead. But survival of the dead isn't just another eat brain, love brain zombie parade. No, Romero's digging deeper into the guts of human folly, painting a dick-swinging contest between two families on an isolated island. It's like a fucked up Hatfields and McCoys with zombies. Families trying to hold on to bullshit grudges and traditions, even when the world's insisting, move the fuck on, pal. Here's what's bitchin' about it. Romero's still flipping the bird to societal norms. He refuses to let go of that sly social commentary that's like his signature on every goddamn thing he births into the horror world. With survival, he's poking holes in stubbornness in the way we cling like a clingy ex to past conflicts, even when survival should be front and center. But let's chew on the real meat here, the zombies. These aren't your run-of-the-mill brain munchers, these decaying assholes are evolving. And that's Romero still, after all the fucking years, teasing at the edges of our nightmares, questioning what makes these creatures tick. The master crafts moments where you can't help but ask, are these walking corpses the real bitches, or is it the breathing folks who can't seem to let go of their ancient shit? The flick might not be the jewel in Romero's crown. Some fans even called it a rancid piece of dog shit compared to Night or Dawn. But here's the bitch of it, it's a piece that dares you to take a goddamn stance. You see hints of the master's fatigue with the genre, a sense of, fuck it, let's go out with a bang, that adds a rawness, a purity to the madness. The visual storytelling, it's vintage Romero, with enough blood splatter to paint a barn cherry red. It's a goddamn treat in an era where CGI often turns horror into a cartoonish wank fest. But despite the practical effects carnage, survival couldn't munch its way into the hearts of the audience like the Og Dead flicks. So here we are, left to ponder, is survival of the dead a woeful misstep, a motherfucking stumble in the dark, or is it an underappreciated gem, a fucking wisdom tooth of hard truth that we all can't quite chew on? George A. Romero was never just about the scares, the gore, or the, oh shit, that's disgusting, factor. He was a storyteller, a philosopher of the fucked up, a maestro making us think with our heads while scaring us out of our wits. Survival of the dead might not be the crescendo, but it's a damn crucial note in Romero's epic, blood-soaked sonata. So here's to you, George A. Romero. You gave us zombies with a side of brains, the thinking kind, and made the world of horror a richer, darker, more bitchin' place. Survival of the dead may round out the edges of your filmography, but fuck me sideways, it's got your signature all over it. So, you fuckers think you know horror? Hold on to your guts, cuz we're scratching beyond the surface of what you're used to. This is your beloved purveyor of the putrid, Dr. Ghoul Eula, and we're fucking diving headlong into the gory depths of George A. Romero's enduring legacy. This ain't your grandma's bedtime story. This is the tale of a man who chewed through the silver screen and spat out something revolutionary. Grab a shovel, my delightful deviants, because we're about to exhume the cadaverous contributions Romero left in the world of the living. Way before your sleek, sprinting Z's became a Hollywood staple, Romero's vision of the walking dead shuffled its way into the collective nightmare of society. With the bloodied birth of Night of the Living Dead, George A. Romero didn't just kickstart a genre, he fucking revolutionized it. But what's his legacy, you ask? It's the fucking reanimation of horror as social commentary, you dimwits. Pre-Romero, undead corpses were a joke, something to scare the squealing kitties at sleepovers. But then, this mastermind smeared the screen with gut-ripping realism and with it, dug the grave for the era of complacent scare fests. The ripples from that initial brain-numbing wave are still felt today, as each new zombie flick stumbles and lurches in the giant footprints he left behind. What's even more fucked up, Romero's zombies weren't just monsters, they were as a decomposing mirror to our society. Goddamn brilliant, isn't it? He plunged us into the abyss, shoving our faces into the rotting reality of racial tensions, consumerism, government distrust, and a whole lot more shit no one else dared touch. We're talking about a motherfucker who could deliver a eulogy on the state of society while dousing it in buckets of gore. Here, unapologetic art. Fast forward, the world saw the mall adventures in Dawn of the Dead, fucked up scientists in Day of the Dead, and class warfare in Land of the Dead. Each film, a bitch slap of biting satire veiled in viscera. Hell, Romero's grotesque imagery and the relentless undead were so sticky, they've glued themselves to pop culture. How about those TV shows, games, and even fucking comics that keep sucking on the teat of Romero's zombified vision? The Walking Dead, Resident Evil, hell, even 28 Days Later, pays homage to the godfather of ghouls. Remember, it wasn't just about the flesh munchers, Romero's influence is a fucking web of ingenuity that caught more than just bugs. He birthed a million-dollar industry motherfuck, horror convention circuits, zombie walks who doesn't love stumbling around like a dead fuck with friends, and bringing social issues to the fore in a genre that was virginal to reality checks. And let's pour one out for the man's knack for creating indie films with balls. Long before Kickstarter and crowdsourced bullshit, Romero was the indie king, cobbling together cash to make movies that had studios shitting their pinstriped pants. He sent shockwaves through the indie scene like a sledgehammer through a skull. Romero's passing was a gunshot to the head of an era, but the infection spread. His genius lurks in the shadows of every horror joint and in the moans of every on-screen corpse. Filmmakers around the world, the great, the good, the shit, they all owe a pint of blood to Romero's cadaver. New breeds of twisted storytellers stand on the shoulders of this colossus, trying not to get bitten as they reach for his crown. So, what's the final testament? George A. Romero was more than just a filmmaker. He was a goddamn institution, a high priest in the Church of the Macabre. This son of a bitch showed us that the real horrors aren't the shambling, festering dead, but our own fucking reflection. And it's this haunting legacy that cements Romero as the eternal emperor of the damned. As the curtain falls on this grotesque theater of the mind, cling to the blood-soaked lessons taught by the twisted professor of pestilence himself. Whisper a thank you into the dark, for the nightmares, for the reflection of humanity's ugly side, for the cinematic history smeared in entrails and brilliance. George A. Romero, you magnificent bastard, your disciples are still spreading your gospel, one gut-wrenching, heart-stopping, brain-exploding piece at a time. There you have it, creeps and creepettes, a legacy so rich and vile that it'll pump through the horror genre's veins, till the end of fucking time. And this is Dr. Ghoul Eula, bowing before the altar of Romero, leaving you with chills multiplying and horrors undying. Stay rotten, my friends, stay fucking rotten. Well, fuck me sideways, creeps and freaks. We've slashed and gored our way through the guts of George A. Romero's legendary career, stitching together the pieces of his blood-splattered legacy. And what a motherfucking masterpiece it is. Romero, the godfather of the dead, the sultan of spook, the emperor of the undead, has left a mark on the horror world so fucking deep, it's oozing with the pus of his creativity. The man wasn't just crafting films, he was exorcising society's darkest demons, pushing boundaries like a goddamn necromancer of the celluloid. Every time he rolled film, he was ripping open the very fabric of the genre, like poking your fingers through a fresh corpse's eye sockets. From the game-changing, mind-fucking depravity in Night of the Living Dead, to the biting social commentary draped in rotting flesh in Dawn of the Dead, Romero wasn't just here to scare the shit out of you. He was here to make you think, make you squirm, and leave your ass with nightmares for weeks. Remember when we talked about Day of the Dead, how it wasn't just a film, but a gruesome mirror held up to society's rancid face? Romero showed us that the real monsters, they're us, bitches, they're us, fucked up, selfish, shambling through life like those flesh munchers. Land of the Dead proved this motherfucker was far from losing his touch, with its gnarly look at class warfare and social fucking stratification amidst a world of decay. And let's not overlook the brilliant Creepshow, his goddamn salute to horror comics of days gone by. It's like a Halloween bag overstuffed with the good shit, no cheap candy corn in this mix, just the pure chocolatey goodness of fright. But all bleeding things must clot, and as we bring this blood-curdling tribute to a close, remember that Romero's work isn't just about the gore, the screams, or how much you need to scrub your pants after the credits roll. It's about the raw, unfiltered humanity that he exhumed from beneath the floorboards of the genre, the truth that we're all just one bad day away from becoming primal, savage, fucking monsters ourselves. As the curtain falls, and you crawl back to your dark little corners of the world, take a piece of Romero's soul with you, let it fester, let it mutate, and, who knows, give birth to your fears and desires. Keep them undead, just like the master would have wanted. So, here's to you, George A. Romero. You magnificent bastard, rest in peace. Fuck no, keep haunting us, keep challenging us, and keep those undead dreams alive and kicking in the abyss of our minds. This has been Dr. Ghoul Eula, signing off from the Horror Report with a razor-sharp salute to the man who made us all part of the goddamn zombie horde. Shamble on, you sick fucks, shamble on. And until next time, stay fucking petrified.